Good morning. I'd like to have my welcome to everyone who is in church today. I trust you've been enjoying your time in God's presence. I'm going to be speaking, continuing in our series on walking in the Spirit. And we're going to be looking today at the topic, the Spirit helps us to pray. And it's always really, really nice and encouraging when, even just before you come up, you actually have, you know, people testifying and sharing. And I think that was a really beautiful one from Sue this morning, just to the testament of answers to prayer, and that God is the God that really answers prayers. And I think that's the biggest preach you could hear this morning, really. So I'm glad she's done that already. So we're going to pray now, and then we're going to open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. That's where we're going to take our time. Actually, we'll read the passage before we pray. So if we want to open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 26 and verse 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I'm going to read that just from the King James Version, because I'm particularly interested in the word which is slightly interpreted differently. So I'm going to read KJV, and I'm going to read 26 and 27 again. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we honor you this morning, Lord. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in you, Lord. That you are a God that not just hears, but answers prayers. And the Bible says that's why to you all flesh will come. And Lord, what a privilege to come this morning. That songwriter says, what a privilege to bring everything to God in prayer. And so Lord, as we speak on the subject of prayer, a subject that challenges every one of us, Lord. Lord, I pray especially because of what you've put upon my heart to speak on this morning. I just pray, Lord, that there will be just the sense of your warmth, of your encouragement. There will be a genuine stirring up. Lord, I ask this morning that there will be, for each one of us, a fresh revelation of your heart for us, of your Father heart for us as your children. To know that you have not left us as orphans. You've given us your Spirit, Lord, to be with us, to never leave us, to never forsake us, so that everything that Christ has accomplished for us can be a reality in our lives, Lord. So Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus, I come against everything that stands against the authority of your word in our lives. Every experience in our past, as we were sharing today, things that we have experienced, that we're holding on to, that is inhibiting us from taking hold of the truth of God's word. Lord, challenges and situations that stands to contradict the authority of Christ and the authority of your rule and your reign in our lives, we come against it this morning, Lord. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus in each of our lives and in each of our hearts, we stand against it in the name of Jesus. And we release your word that is quick and that is powerful, that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that is able to divide, that is able to cast down, that is able to cast down the battle axe of God's Spirit, that is able to cut down and uproot from its very roots and its foundations, Lord, the hammer of the Word of God, the fire of your Word that is able to burn and consume everything that stands contrary to the truth of Christ. And Lord, we just lay hold of the sanctifying power of the Word of Christ this morning, that is able to blot out every ordinance and everything that has been spoken or written against us that is contrary to your counsel and to your purpose. Wipe it clean. Wipe the slate clean. And nail it to the cross of Christ, bringing freedom and liberty this morning, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you because you're already here. But help us to open our hearts, that each one of us will make a decision in our hearts to open up ourselves afresh to you. So even now as we go into the Word, can I just encourage you, as you're sitting there, will you just invite the Holy Spirit afresh? Will you just, for yourself, just utter that in your own heart and say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Can you just still your heart in this moment? We're talking about prayer, and what a better way than to start praying, actually. So give you a few moments just to pray and commune with the Holy Spirit in your own heart, in your own mind. As you said, when you ask God to reveal himself, he does. So can I challenge you this morning and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me this morning. Speak to me in a way that only you can. Cause me to hear your voice in my voice this morning. I'm not going to hear the voice of man, not the voice of Taiwo, but I want to hear the voice of your Spirit whispering gently into my heart this morning. Yes, Lord, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our fears, it dispels, Lord. What a privilege to bring everything to you in prayers. Oh, what joy we often forfeit. Needless pain we need not bear. All because we do not bring everything to you in prayers. But Lord, this morning we bring everything to you, Lord. All of our heart, all of our mind, all of our being. We just lay before the throne of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read on the subject of prayer, and I've read quite a few books on prayer, and one of the things that strikes me, almost every book of prayer begins with the fact of just how difficult it is to either write about prayer or talk about prayers or share about prayer, because it's an area of a spiritual discipline that we all know sometimes how challenging and how difficult that is. And there's a famous preacher actually says, I've never written a book on prayer because I just could not bring myself to write a book on prayer, even though he was such a fantastic preacher. And oftentimes when we come to prayers, that's the kind of thing on our heart. And when I was thinking about this, that's usually the way you will go and you read the books and talk about different prayers. But I felt the Holy Spirit just challenge my heart and bring me to a very different place. So I'm preaching a message this morning that I've never preached before, and I'm not even sure I've had somebody talking in this particular line. So just bear with me, but I just felt the Lord just focus my heart on it. And in a way, it's a testimony actually to the efficacy of prayer, because I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm speaking on this passage. Can you give me something for your people this morning? And then I just saw him show me something I'd never really seen before, which for me in itself, it's an answer to prayer and kind of gave me encouragement. And I'm going to stick to this verses again. And when we look at that verses, when we read it, and that's a verse I'm sure many of us are familiar with, and many times I've read it, And when you read it, that first line, you generally tend to just skip through it. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also help our infirmities. Yeah. And then we all go to, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And we talk about, yes, you know, you struggle with prayers and this. And, you know, you want to focus, should it be focused on, you know, the groaning? When you talk about the Spirit there, is that talking about speaking in tongues? Or is it talking about something beyond that? You know, what does it mean for the Spirit to groan in you? And what's it about the Spirit searching your heart and knowing all of the things? What is it about the intercession and the will of God? And that's usually the bits I generally tend to focus on. But as I looked at this passage, the Lord just kept me on that first line, which is why I went back to the King James Version. And he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. And one of the things that struck me as I began to think and read around that subject was, the first thing as he talked about prayer was acknowledging that when it comes to the area of prayers, the issue about weakness, which is the other word that was used there, but I like infirmities, and you probably can see why that's probably strike me. The medical person in me just got caught up in that. Oh, infirmity, I like that word. So I stick with infirmity rather than the weakness, because it kind of, you know, it tickles my medical fancy, yeah. You know? So, but it means the same, you know, and we'll come to it in a minute. But it says, the Spirit helps our infirmities. It helps our weakness. For we don't know how we ought to pray as we should pray. And we all acknowledge that. I don't think that's nothing we don't know. We all know that. We all appreciate that. But for me, the new focus there is that first line. The Spirit helping our infirmities. And I took the liberty to look up that word infirmity in the dictionary. And it says infirmity is a physical or a mental weakness. And it talks about synonyms. And this has the words that come up under synonyms for that word infirmity. It talks about frailty, weakness, feebleness, enfeeblement, delicacy, fragility, debility, debilitation, disability, impairment, lameness, doddiness, shakiness, unsteadiness, instability, weakness, hesitation, uncertainty, inconstancy, indecision, irresolution, fluctuation. As you hear all those words I'm reeling out, how many of us probably feel in your heart? One or a few of those words probably describe the way I feel about my prayer life. How many of us, kind of, as I'm reading those words to you, kind of thinking, actually, when I think about my prayer life, I think I might choose one or two of those words you've just read to describe how I feel about my prayer life. And that's synonymous words with infirmity. You know, I'm sure some of us can relate to that hesitation, that uncertainty, that inconstancy about my prayer life. You know, today I'm praying well, next week I've forgotten. Last month, yeah, it was great. 2 years ago, it was greater. Now I don't even know where it is. And all of these words, but they are words which can replace that word infirmity. And one of the things that struck me then as I looked at this passage was in introducing this subject and coming to this point in prayer, Paul was writing. The writer of this passage was saying, this is something that is common to all of us. This is something that is common to everybody. And when you consider someone like the apostles, when you consider many men and women of great faith, and people will look onto that, we think these guys are phenomenal when it comes to the things of the Spirit. And yet, in writing this letter, he says, even us, when it comes to the subject of prayer, we're infirmed. We recognize that infirmity, we recognize that weakness, we recognize that uncertainty, we recognize that inconstancy, we recognize that ability not to be able to be all that we think we should be. It's not just not understanding what we need to pray about or how we need to pray about it. But this is something that is universal and is common to all. And Christ, through his word, in bringing us to the subject of prayers is acknowledging upfront that there is an issue of infirmity. There is an issue of weakness. There is an issue that when we come to the place of prayers, we may all struggle with it. But if that was where it stopped, because often in my own life and in my own reflection, that's probably where I stop. And how many of us today have become paralyzed and have become ineffective in our prayer life because that's where we stop? Because when we come to prayers, we recognize and see the infirmity of our prayer life. And we're kind of thinking, I can't go beyond that anyway. No matter what I do, this is where I'm going to be. I'm never going to be perfect in this, isn't it? I can't just see how I'm going to do it really well. Maybe some guys are great, but not me. It paralyzes us, it weakens us, it brings coldness to our heart. We lose the fervency to press into it and to do stuff with it. And we just think, it's not possible. I'm not able to do that. But when I look at this passage, the introduction was to say, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. And I want to say to you, when we talk about these infirmities here, we're talking specifically about the infirmities of prayer. And as he introduces us and brings us to the subject of prayer, there is an acknowledgement that we have infirmities relating to the subject of prayer. But the Spirit helps our infirmities. And when we come to prayers, just knowing that we have infirmities in God's eyes is not the only starting point. It's recognizing that the work of the Spirit is to help us with all of those infirmities. And not just us. Everyone who has ever lived under this fallen nature, struggling and contesting with the flesh and with the fallen nature. This is the reality. As long as we are on this side of eternity, that's the reality. And Christ confronts us with that reality. God is honest and upfront when it comes to his people. He says, yes, you're living in a fallen world. You're constantly going to be in this battle. And there is the weakness when it comes to this subject. But that is why I give you my Spirit. The Spirit is to help you with these infirmities. The Holy Spirit helps with our infirmities. And when we're talking about help here, it was saying the kind of help we're talking about here is the kind of help that is like help coming alongside you and helping you to do something. It's not the kind of help that you say, I need help. You sit down there and that thing is being done. And when it's finally done, it's given back to you. No. He gave an example of, it's almost like when you're trying to carry something and nothing is too heavy for you alone to carry. And somebody comes alongside you and say, you pick it here, I'll pick it there. We'll lift it together and then you'll be able to do the job. So the Holy Spirit says, I know that there might be certain weaknesses or infirmities or frailties or inconstancy, dullness, or whatever way you like to do it, whatever way might appeals to you or that describes better your situation. When the Holy Spirit comes, it comes alongside you and does what? It helps you. It helps you. The Holy Spirit doesn't help itself. The Holy Spirit is not there to help others. The Holy Spirit is there to do what? To help you as you pray. The Holy Spirit is there to help you as you pray. Because he recognizes the infirmities that you bear. And each one of us have different infirmities when it comes to the subject of prayer. But the beauty of the Holy Spirit is, and that's why he says, this Spirit that is coming to you is the Spirit that is able to search, that is able to understand, that is able to look at the very issues of your heart and is able to recognize the things that are specific to you with regards to your weaknesses and with regards to your infirmities when it comes to prayer. And why is that important? So that it can offer you the most appropriate help for you. Because the help that I might need in prayer might be different from the help that Alan might need in prayer. Or might be different from the help that somebody else might need in prayers. And if you have a helper who is not discerning and who does not have the capacity to understand the intricacies, the help that he might render may be ineffective or may actually make things worse. But the beauty of the helper that the Lord has provided for us is giving us an helper who is the Holy Spirit, who not just understands the heart and the mind of God, but also searches our heart and understands all that is going on in our heart, and therefore is able to come and help us and enable us to bring that synergy when we are open and when we invite him to come and to help us when we are praying. So if this is the prayer, when the Holy Spirit stands beside you and is saying, I'm willing to leave this side with you, when you're ready to leave that other side. So the Holy Spirit could be here from now till next year, prepared and ready to lift prayer with you, until you actually put your hand on that side and lift that prayer. What happens to you? There is no help in prayer. But that's not because there is no help in prayer. It's because you haven't caught on yet the revelation of what you need to do to make that happen. So the Holy Spirit is available. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is there for each and every one of us. And the Bible says, nobody is of Christ without the Spirit of Christ in them. If you look earlier in that Romans chapter 8, it says, nobody can say, I'm of Christ, if the Spirit of Christ is not in them. And it says, as many as are led by his Spirit, they are the children of God. So there is an understanding and an acknowledgement that every one of us who are children of the living God, we have the Spirit dwelling in us. It is by the Spirit that we are saved, and it is by the Spirit that we are led and directed as children of God. So that is certain, and that is a certainty for every child of God. That is a certainty for you. Everyone who declares that Jesus is Lord has the help and the certainty of the indwelling power of your Spirit at work within you. But what that Spirit wants to do, he wants to come alongside you and help you in your journey of discovering intimacy with God in the subject of prayer. And so, the fact that I'm infirmed, or the fact that I recognize infirmities, should not put me off of the subject of prayers. It is a certainty. It is something that is universal. Men and women who have achieved great things with God in the place of prayers have had to contend with infirmities and weaknesses. And if Jesus himself says, I thank you, Lord, because you always hear me. Because everything I do is what I see my Father do, and I press on in the place of prayers, I depend on the enabling of the Holy Spirit to do everything I am doing. How much more us? It would be foolhardy for us to actually think, even in the subject of prayer, we would be able to do that in our own strength, because we would just fall flat on our face. And that's okay. But when we invite and we allow and we give permission and we engage the Holy Spirit that is already resident in us, the Spirit of Christ in us, that Spirit by which we cry, Abba, Father, that Spirit enables us to be able to then connect, link in with God and begin to press on in the place of prayers. So this morning, the question I have for you is, what are your own infirmities when it comes to the subject of prayer? If the Holy Spirit is beaming his such light upon your heart right now, what are the things that you will be picking out that for you has become that which has become an obstacle, or that which hinders you in your mind, in your heart, to think, I cannot be effective when it comes to my prayer life? Because what he wants to offer you this morning is an understanding that whatever that infirmity or weakness might be, there is a solution in the Spirit. And he wants to come alongside you, help you, as you set your heart to pray, the Holy Spirit, when you invite Him, will come alongside you and He will help you to pray. And as He begins to help you, something will happen. It says, when the Holy Spirit begins to help us to pray, the confusion around what we need to pray and how we need to pray will begin to find rhythm in the help of the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ will instruct us on how we need to pray if we allow Him to come into our hearts and to begin to guide us. Now, there are practical things and many other processes that might involve, and that for me is not the subject of this morning, because I really want to focus and challenge us afresh on that beginning point. Because I think if we catch the revelation of what the place of the Holy Spirit is all about, all those other processes will fall in place. Because oftentimes what stands as a block in our heart is that we just can't do this. It's just not possible. It's too difficult. Or we do not fully understand or comprehend what the place of the Spirit is. And when we don't understand what the place of the Spirit is, then we think, oh no, I failed, or that's not working, and then we give up. That's not what God wants for us. The Spirit is an enlightening spirit. It can teach us to pray. We had the visions there with some of the leaders yesterday. And I knew earlier in the week I was going to be breaking bread. And I was going to be leading that bit of it. And as I was at home and I was thinking about it and praying about it and I'm saying, Lord, what will I do? Normally when you break bread, what do you just do? You know the scriptures. You go to it and when he broke the bread, he gave thanks and he did that and he did it and you just do it. But then I just said, Holy Spirit, is there something you might like me to do that will kind of fit into what you're doing in the heart of your people for that morning? And when I woke up in the morning, I just felt an impression to go and read that passage again. And as I was reading John 13, it took me to that place where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And he says, no, that's the scripture I want you to use, not this traditional one. That's an enlightening. As I went to him and saying, Holy Spirit, what do I do? And because he took me by that revelation into that, what happened? I began to pray into that. It gave me a courage to pray that scriptures. And guess what happened? When we had at the meeting yesterday morning, Halle brought something from that particular scripture that I just thought was so encouraging and so powerful. And then when I realized that, I could see that this is the Spirit at work. And I can imagine for people who are sitting in that meeting, when they see how those things dovetail together, you don't need to tell them that the Spirit is at work. They know the Spirit is at work because they can see the manifestation of the Spirit at work. And that's because you aligned yourself. I said, I need to do this, but Holy Spirit, come and help me. And then he gave me a scripture. And through that scripture, it played out to the blessing and to the encouragement and to the edifying of the people of God. That's a practical example of how you come alongside him. You recognize that you can't do it in your own strength. But you say, Holy Spirit, can you help me? And Second Chronicles 7, when David was praying, and he says, because you have said to me that I will build you a house, I had the courage to pray about provisions to build a house. Solomon had the courage to pray about building the temple of God. Why? Because he had a revelation. There was a prophetic word gone before him to say, you're going to do this. So when the revelation of God comes upon an area, that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. When an enlightening and a revelation comes, it gives you courage to step out and to say, actually, I'm going to press on to that. I'm going to hold on to God because what's happening? So that's how the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. So it's not just that I've just got something fancy there. Something through the Spirit ignites a passion or an understanding or an insight in your mind. And suddenly, that is not just an empty rhetoric. It's not just standing on the roadside and making this flowery language. You know, that becomes a faith and a fervency in the Spirit that produces an impact and an outcome. Why? Because you're praying according to the will of God in that specific situation. That may be different for this morning. it will be different from tomorrow morning. But is that understanding that step by step, day by day, event by event, you can partner with the Holy Spirit? Because actually, prayer is not about you. It's not about my flowery language. It's not by my beautiful grammar or flowery language. No, that's not what it is about. It is about recognizing right from the onset that none of us can pray as we ought. It is the Spirit that enables us. It is the Spirit. And if the Spirit gives you a beautiful flowing flowery language, then praise God for it. But what it says in that bit is not all words and flowery language. It says sometimes it's even groanings that cannot be uttered. You're just sitting down there and there's a burden in your heart and you can't even articulate it. But you're groaning in your heart, you're burdened by it, and it's generating a burden in your heart, and you're just praying in the Spirit. Have you ever had an experience where you're just there and you're just praying in the Spirit? You can't even, you said something in your spirit, man, in your very, very depth of your being, but you can't even articulate it. But you're just praying in that language. If you have the gift of the tongues, you just begin to break forth in tongues. And then somewhere along the line, something just drops in your spirit, man. And then you suddenly realize, oh, that was what that was about. And then suddenly there is a boldness to step out and declare that truth. That's prayer that the Holy Spirit has put in you. Why do you have that boldness to display that? Because suddenly you realize this is the will of God. And when I pray according to His will, it will answer me. And therefore you can step out in confidence and say, I trust this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. And there is something that happens there and then. So it's not just words, but sometimes even with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Anna was there. It says the prophet looked at this woman and thought, is she drunk or what? You know, she's just mortary, she's just groaning before the Lord. But what? He that searches the heart. Said, Lord, give me a son and I will give him to you all the days of his life. To others he may look like nothing, but the Spirit that searches the heart knew what? Sacked the heart of this lady, and she got the desires of her heart, and God gave her a son, and that son was dedicated to the Lord all the days of his life. Birth in prayer, anguish, bud in prayer. It wasn't flowery, it wasn't oratory, but it was fervency, it was full of faith, it was inspired by the Spirit. And what's the outcome? When he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God, we know that God will hear and God will answer us. And that's where we need to start from when we come to the place of prayers. Let not the enemy rob you of the fact that there are weaknesses and there are infirmity. That comes with the territory. Embrace it. That's who you are in God. Let not your weaknesses, let not your infirmity around the issue of prayer cripple you or paralyze you or rob you of the joy and intimacy of discovering what the Holy Spirit can partner with you to know and to experience when it comes to the issue of prayer. Because that's why the Holy Spirit is there, to help you. If you could help yourself, you don't need help. Jesus says, I have not come for the whole. I've not come for those who've got it all together. Yeah, they're okay. They don't need anything. I've come for those who are weak, who need me. And I want to come alongside you. Oh, you're weak. Okay, praise God. Welcome to the club. It's the club of weak people. I'm inconsistent. Praise God. Welcome. That's why the Holy Spirit comes. It's looking for you. That does not disqualify you. In fact, that gives you a badge of honor to come. Because then you can depend on Him in the place of prayers. You can hold on to Him and say, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, don't take us from here. That's a man who has caught the revelation of what the Spirit brings. Because Moses has tried it in his power before, he's tried it in his strength, and he knows what happens today. And at that point in time, he says, Lord, if you do not take us from here, just leave us here. Because I know what that's going to be. But it's a man who has learned to depend and to connect with the power and the blessings that the Holy Spirit brings. He's the sanctifying Spirit. It will walk within you. It will cause an excitement within you. It will break the powers and the hold of sin and of shame, as we read in that song. Once he strips you of those powers of sin and shame, there is an excitement for the intimacy and the presence of God. The Bible says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. The psalmist says, I would rather be in his presence than be anywhere else. He says, your presence is like honey. It's joy to my heart. The Holy Spirit will bring an excitement to be in your Father's presence. It's a comforting spirit. You should just testify to that. How the Spirit can silence fear. How we can bring help and overcome discouragement. When the Spirit comes alongside you, when He does that, then prayers can rise up. The kind of prayers that touches the heart of God, that transforms and brings us into the place where God wants to take us. So when we think about infirmities, try and imagine a doctor. We've got an excellent health service in this country. I come from a country where you don't have such privilege. I have, as a medical student, been in the pediatric emergency room and see a child die for something very, very basic because the parents could not afford health care. Whereas in this country, you can receive excellent health care at each point of delivery. All you need to do is what? You don't even need to leave your house depending on what the condition is. If you're in an acute dire emergency, you can actually dial 999 and what will happen, help will come into your very living room. And when that help comes, what happens? It meets your infirmities. Now imagine you say, well, actually, I know better than just doctors. Who do they think they are? Have you not seen my IQ? I have an IQ of 140. I'm one of the top 5 most brilliant people in the world. I don't need any doctor. If I'm sick, I'll just look after myself. If somebody said that to you, what will be your thought? You think, what's wrong with you? When you go to the doctor, what does he do? Based on what your condition is, he might decide to do radiological examination or check your blood or put his hands on you or do what sort of stuff, but they will try and find out what the problem is. They give you a diagnosis, they treat it, and they send you on your way, and you're well, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is a physician. It looks at those infirmities, and it says, oh, that one is just viral illness. It's okay. 2-3 days, that will be gone. Don't worry about it. Move it. It looks at that and says, no, that is serious. That is cancer. If you don't deal with that, it's going to kill you. The Holy Spirit x-rays, focuses his eyes on your heart. And he gives you instruction about how to deal with those infirmities. And when you obey him and respond to him, you come into wholeness. It's just exactly the way it works in medicine. But if you ignore it, or you start and abandon it halfway, then what happens? You don't get the desired outcome. Does that mean that the physician is not okay and is not working? No, you are just not following the instruction. You are just not doing what he has asked you to do. You are just not engaging at the right time when you need it. Or you're just not bothering at all to make connection with the health service. So people of God, we can know wholeness. Because we have Dr. Holy Spirit. And infirmities don't blaze him at all. He's well trained. He's skillful. He's got all of the assessments and all of the diagnostic procedures. And he knows all of the treatment. When you come to him, irrespective of what your infirmity, when it comes to the issue of prayers, he will be able to come alongside you, give you the appropriate help and diagnosis, and get you right. Why? Because his job is to enable you to pray according to the will of your Father. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Let's pray. When I was preparing about this morning, I sensed there might be somebody here this morning where there are certain blocks and there are certain infirmities. For some of us, it's the issue of control. You just can't let go. You just cannot bring yourself to a point where you're succeeding control to the Holy Spirit. No, you have to be in control. You've got to do what you want to do. The Holy Spirit has to align to you and to you alone. You are the captain of your own ship. You will determine your own fate. And that's been the biggest block to you. It's just the issue of control. And that's one of your biggest obstacles when it comes to really pressing on to God in real intimate prayer time. You just can't cede control. That's like an infirmity. But the Holy Spirit has got a solution for that. If you go to Him, it will give you a way around that. It will show you. Because part of what is driving that control might be fear or things in your life or things in your experience. Or other people have taken that and abused that. But He says, no, I am a good father. I know how to give good gifts to my children. Fear not, little flock. It is your will, it is your Father's will to give you the kingdom. When you release that control to you, it's got a beautiful plan for you, better than you can have for yourself. I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Not of evil. Good plans to bring you to an expected end and to give you a wonderful and bright future. But you need to engage with the Holy Spirit. You need His help. And you need to take that help. You need to stop fobbing Him off. You need to stop kicking Him out. You need to stop shutting the door in His face. Because you need Him. And He's there. He's always been there. And He's saying, just let me in. Just let me come alongside you. Just let me show you how to do it. Just let me help you so that you can come to the place that I have prepared for you. And so, Father, we just ask that You will challenge us, Lord, this morning. Give us a fresh revelation of Your Spirit, Lord, and what Your Spirit is about when it comes to the issue of our prayer life. Help us to embrace our infirmities and release it to Your Spirit, to use it so that You can truly be glorified, in Jesus' name. Amen.